Thanks for listening to today's podcast. If this ministry has touched your life in any way, contact us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook or by emailing us at bfwcgeorgetown@gmail.com. Feel free to share your prayer requests or comments. We hope you enjoy today's message. Blessings to you and yours.
I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3, and when you get there, I want you to say amen. Ephesians chapter 3. Woo, some of y'all are fast. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 17. Once you get there, just give me a big smile and an amen, man. I know, some of y'all got some, y'all got some pearly whites out here. I need to turn those lights on you a little bit. Then it quit shining off my head and shine off of you. Are you ready? Now look at this. Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 17. How many of you are there? It says this, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, to may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled, are you ready? With all, say it, with all the fullness of God. Now, can I break this down where we really and truly begin to grab a hold of this? Can I do this? Are you ready? Go back and look at verse 17 because I got to reveal something to you. Guys, listen, what's in you is greater than you think. It's been a good time for somebody to say amen. Where does Christ dwell? Put your hand on your chest and just say, in me. Wait a minute. What does the word say? Greater is he that is in. Say it. Greater is he that is in. Say it. Greater is he that is in. Come on, get that in your spirit. Greater is he that is in. Come on. We deal with self-confidence. We deal with a lot of things when greater is he that is in. It's time for us to ignite the greater that is in us. You didn't pay for it. Oh, I'm going to help you. You ready? You didn't deserve it. But when you confessed and said, Lord, come and live in my heart, he said, I'm bringing all my greatness to come right on in. Are you hearing me right now? Watch this. You didn't do anything. He did it for you. But the problem is we don't understand what is really in us. So in verse 17, you find it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. Can I just stop right here? You're loved. That went over like a lead balloon. You are loved. When nobody else loves you, when nobody else is in your corner, when everybody else has something to say about you, you're still loved. When you miss God and you blow it and you fall on your face, there is still one who loves you when you're back. There is still someone who loves you no matter where you go, how much you miss him, how much you make it. Oh, let me go right here for a second. See, a lot of us think that we please God by our works. You don't please God by your works. You already please God because you belong to him. Amen. Do you understand? You're a child of God. Listen, how many of you would look at your daughter or your son and say, you know what? I hate you. I'm disappointed in you. I don't want you. How many of you all in here would honestly look at your child who you love and say that? But yet in our mind, we think God, come on, am I being truthful? When you sin, how many of us get in our mind, the devil plants a seed and says, he hates you. Better watch out, the lightning bolts are coming. Oh, wait a minute, something bad is getting ready to happen. God's getting ready to cause something. Come on, am I speaking truth to everybody here? Hello? I'm messing with some of your minds right now. Because for too long, the devil has planted an orphan mindset in your mind. When the prodigal son came home, his father already had the ring, the robe, and the shoes already prepared. It was waiting on him to return. He wouldn't do that for an orphan. He only does it for a son and a daughter. So guess what? He's already laid it out for you. So is he pleased with you? This is yes. Do I miss it? Yes, I do. And I repent. I ask him to forgive me. I confess it. All right, can I keep moving? Watch this. Verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all the rest of us. Look at somebody and poke them and just say, me and you. Go ahead, poke them. Yeah, that's right. Poke somebody up. Be nice. Man, some of y'all in here are rough on the person next to you. My goodness, yeah. Man, watch this. That you may be able to comprehend together. Now can I just say this to everybody? There's power in unity. If y'all believe that, then go ahead and just say it. There's power in unity. You let a bunch of people come together with the same mindset. Why do riots do what they do is because people have rallied to an idea. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. And the world, the devil uses it all the time. Why is it that the church can never come together? God, you're going to make me preach. Why is it that we cannot come together, red, yellow, black, and white, past our color, past our backgrounds, past our stuff, hello, and comprehend together what God's trying to do with us? See, there's no status. There is neither Jew nor Greek. So guess what? Can I help everybody here? Exactly. And I don't care if you've been preaching for 40 years or you're a new creature. You're a new change. You're a brand new Christian. It does not matter to God. What he wants us to do is come together. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints. You ready? The breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. Can I help you? All right, you ready? Let's take a trip. You ready? You don't mind if I teach for just a second. Watch this. How do you find out the width, the depth, the height, the length? Have you ever tried to measure something by yourself? I pick on Lauren because I call her Bobette the Builder. Because every time I need to build something, I need to have somebody at the other end to tape measure. Does it make sense? And she's seen me tear apart, build, wire, you name it. Pastor's done it. And she's just like, let it rub off on her because now she's the original Mrs. Fix-It. And I'm picking on her, but she knows, and it's true. Are y'all hearing, Pastor? We cannot do it on our own. Come on, saints, hear me. Are you ready? You have to have people that have been places that you haven't been. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need to have people who used to be addicted to drugs because I was never addicted. Y'all didn't say amen. I need to have people who's been delivered from that because you know why? I don't have to have all of the tools in my tool belt. I have to have the people with the tools in my tool belt so I can release the tool to help the people that needs to be helped. Does that make sense to everybody? I'm not the everybody man. Jesus was the only one that was. So he equips the body together in unity so that you know what? I've never known what that's like, but I got a brother and a sister right here that knows what it's like. Come on, I got one that knows what prostitution's like. I got one, male or female. Oh, that just blew some of y'all's mind. Because everybody thinks it's just the female side, but I know males. Y'all ain't going to say nothing in church. We have to know together what is the breadth, the length, the height. Can I help you? Pastor has to push the envelope so you can grow. You can't take people where you're not. Does it make sense? Why does pastor pray? Why do I fast? Why do I read? Why do I study? Why do I get on my face? Why do I repent constantly? It's so that I can keep pushing the lid up so that those that are following me can grow faster than what I had to. Do you understand? A shepherd makes shepherds. My job is to raise pastors, teachers, evangelists, because that's who I am. Hello? Praise and worship leaders, that's my job. Outreach ministers, that's what I am. So what I do is I have to push the height because I've done been to the depth. Is this helping anybody? Is this helping everybody? But you have to understand, we have to be one to actually get all the measurements right. You can take one person who comes against another person and you've broke the tape measure. Oh, pastor, preach right here. One person who has a different agenda, okay, cannot measure a different way than what you need to measure. Amen? There's many times you got to ask, are you on my team or you're not on my team? Are you for me or against me? Does that make sense? Because we're trying our best to stay in love. What does it say? What does it say right there in that verse? You see it? And that to know the love of Christ. Can I ask you something? How much do you know that Jesus loves you? I know how much he loves me. Does that make sense? I haven't been where she's been. And God had to touch her with love in a different way. I haven't been where she's been. Are you hearing me? She hasn't been where I've been. I haven't been where you've been. You haven't been where I've been. I haven't been where you've been, but you haven't been where I've been. Does this make sense? Do you understand what the Lord is trying to say? He's trying to say, church, I'm trying to bring you together because you will never know the fullness of my love until you come together. Is that powerful? Yeah. You're a puzzle. And if your piece is missing, then guess what? We're missing some length. Are you important? Everybody here, just shake your head. Yes. Amen. Now, can I keep moving to this last verse? Watch this. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Can I stop right here? How many of us has got it figured out? Anybody here got it all? You got it all together. Everybody's arrived. Come on, is this making sense to anybody? You mind if I break it down to where we grab a hold of it? Watch this. Do you realize that you can't get knowledge until you get all the pieces together? Hello. I got the love of Christ. She has the love of Christ. But guess what? There has to be knowledge in how to ignite that love to touch somebody else. Oh, pastor, can you preach right here for a second? Watch this. I got to have the Kenny and the Nirenes. I've got to have them in my life. I got to have the Dots. I got to have people in my life because God placed them in my life in love so that I can grow in knowledge. Hello? Watch this. I would never know what it's like to lose a baby, but I got someone who does. So I can send somebody who's lost a baby to someone who's been there. And that love will cover them and heal them just like it healed them. Is this making sense? You take somebody who's been somewhere and God uses it for his glory. What he does is he begins to give you keys. Guys, listen to me. Are you hearing me right now? There is so many doors that right now are closed in the spirit in Georgetown. And it's because the church hasn't come together and allowed their key to be positioned in the door, in the right door. Y'all ain't hearing me. Because there's a lot of people who are trying to shove their keys into doors they don't need to. Are you hearing me? We got to get past to this, and we got to get past this being mine and realize that there is a door that God designed for you to unlock so that knowledge and love can be poured out of you. Are you hearing me? There's doors that Jesus is the door, and he says, I've got all of this just waiting on you to unlock the door. I just need your key. I need your testimony. I need your life. God, Pat, I'm trying my best to preach and y'all are just looking at me because I'm slapping you with truth. Knowledge. It only comes when we're together. You can't have any rogues. We can't have backbiting. Are you hearing me? We can't afford it. Does it make sense? Because you know what? It can shut down a move of God. So instead, we have to confront. We have to expose so that we can cover in love. Make sense? Bring truth and knowledge to it so that then there's healing, restoration, and then there's the next move of God, because that just became something that somebody learned from. See, you need to quit looking at the things in your life that have been hard and you messed up and just think that's the way it is. No, those are things that God designed for you to learn from. Is everybody okay? What passes all knowledge, watch this. Are you ready? So that you might be filled. Can I just ask you a question? How many of you think you're as full as you can get? Are you unteachable? You know, when you get around somebody who's a know-it-all, you can't teach them. You can't speak into their life. You can do nothing to them because in their mind, they know it all, and they'll tell you they know it all. And you know what happens is that person actually begins to die. Does it make sense? But here you find him saying this. Look, he says, so that you might be filled. Everybody say filled. Filled. That you might be filled. Are you ready? I can only be filled when I'm right with God. Can only be filled when I have nothing else. Yeah, we're setting it on fire in here tonight. You hear the alarms going off. That should tell you something in the spirit too, because y'all are getting this. Watch this. That you might be filled with all. Say that word. Just say all. Is there anything held back? How many of you feel sometimes, and be truthful with me, how many of you feel sometimes that God just gives you a crumb, just a lifeline, just I'm going to spare you right now? Do you realize it's your mindset that holds you back from the fullness? Because you can't have what you can't receive. Make sense? If I have a mindset that says I'm not worthy, then you can't receive his glory because it contradicts who he is. Make sense? But when I step back and go, I know I'm not worthy of it, I know I don't deserve it, but I realize it's been freely given and imparted in my life, so I receive it. Guess what happens? Fullness comes. Hallelujah. You know what happens is you begin to find yourself in a place of love where it used to be condemnation. Is everybody doing okay? Is this helping you? I know pastor's teaching you a thing. Are you ready? I don't care if you're a man or a woman. Listen to me, men. We fail in a lot of different ways. Are you ready? Do you realize that we concentrate more on our failures than we do our victories? How about it, women? How many of you are your own worst enemy? Y'all ain't gonna say nothing in this church. people don't even have to come to you and tell you when you miss it because you done beat yourself up for 3 or 4 or 5 hours, or you was up at 3 o'clock in the morning, or you were, oh, come on, y'all ain't going to help me, or you didn't sleep the night before, or you're eating too much because you're all nervous and jittery, or you're not eating anything because as fast as you eat it, it comes out of you in one way, shape, or form. Am I speaking truth right now? It's because we're our own worst enemies, and what happens is the devil has lied to you and told you you are not when God says you are. Are you hearing me? I'm so tired of the devil feeding Christians. I lived in this place most of my life that I had to just be the perfect guy for God to be pleased with me when I realized God fearfully and wonderfully made me to please him. And then what I have to do is this. I don't work to please him. I just live to please him. I just live every day. Every breath I take, I bless him. Even when I fall on my face and I miss God, I go, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I pick myself up in your presence because, Lord, you said that you love me no matter what. And I find myself right back in his love. I find myself right back in his arms again. See, I want to help everybody here. Are you ready? God does not want to push you away. He wants to bring you close. So what if I missed him? Repent. Confess. Get up, child of God. Does it make sense? Turn from that thing. Don't let it come back. When it tries to come back, you go, no, that cost me last time. Anybody ever went somewhere and you made a stupid financial decision? You said, I'll never do that again. Why can't we do that in the spirit? Well, I'll never do that one again. Come on. Sometimes your money outweighs your spirit. Ooh. Pastor, you just said that and that hurt. You let a financial decision run you more than what a spiritual one would. Oh, Pastor, you got to get off of us, Pastor. I'm not getting on you. I love you. I'm giving you truth. I'm trying to give you some meat. Hello? Because the Father's arms are wide open for everybody in here tonight. He just wants to put his arms around you. Hello? Amen. Can we keep going? I got a couple more. Can you handle it? Go to 2 Corinthians. Go there quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and that one's pretty close, so it's only just a few chapters back. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 6. Is everybody doing okay? Are you learning? Okay, so I'm not spitting cotton, and I'm not preaching the paint off the wall. I'm just breaking it down to be real. Is it okay? Now, if you want me to preach, I can sure cut loose. But if I preach, you in here for another hour. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Look at what it says here. But I say this, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. But he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, everybody takes that for just money, but what are you sowing? Can I just stop you? What are you sowing? What happened in here when you begin to encourage somebody next to you? The atmosphere shifted. What did you sow? When you looked at somebody and said, you know what, you're a mighty man of God. And they looked back at you and said, you know what, you're a child of the Most High God. On the inside of you, the Spirit of God just spoke to the Spirit of God in the other person. And what rose up in you was Christ. Hallelujah. What are you sowing? Make sense? Look at this. Verse 7, every man according as he prospereth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. What are you giving? If I'm giving money, I'm going to give it cheerfully. If I'm giving encouragement, I'm going to give it cheerfully. If I'm giving helps, I'm going to give. You might need me to carry it 1 mile. You always notice pastor going to carry it the extra mile. You ain't saying nothing. Come on. How many of us are realizing whatever you sow is what you reap? Do you understand that for 5 years, I sewed into every person I could. I fixed floors, cars. We changed oil in the back for single women. I worked and I said, God, for every time that I put my hands to the plow, I'm not going to look back, but I'm believing that I'll have a ministry of men that will rise up and be like their pastor. Can I go ahead and tell you, in 5 years, God turned that around, that now I can wake up in the morning. And in the morning, I don't have to put out a scripture. I got a group of men that's sending out, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that God created. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not below. Do you understand? I sowed that. I paid for it. You know, many times we just want to drop a seed in the ground and we expect to walk out the next day and it be the beanstalk. Y'all ain't going to help me. Anybody ever planted something, you just wish it was the beanstalk? Okay. You do realize there's a giant up there. Y'all ain't going to hear me. Are you listening? Jack and the beanstalk. Oh, it was wonderful. Dropped the bean in the ground and it grew. Oh, man, I can climb up. I'm going up to the high places. There's a giant in the high places. And you got to topple them to get it. Y'all ain't saying that. Y'all ain't going to help me. I'm just going to keep right on moving. Verse 8, my favorite. And God is able. Whoo! Look at somebody and say, God is able. How many of us has limited God whenever a doctor gives you a report that's not, oh, y'all ain't going to help me, or your checkbook gives you a report, or your bank sends you that wonderful little notice in the mail that says you've overdrafted your account. Anybody? No, don't raise your hand. Hallelujah. Overdraft privilege, overdraft privilege. Thief. Thief. Let me keep moving. Watch this. And God is able to make all grace, unmerited favor, abound. Everybody say more. Oh, catch this. Are you ready? Are you ready what he's saying here? Look, and God is able to allow his favor, watch this, to abound, to overflow towards you. You know, here's an interesting place. You ready? I can go over here to Stephanie, and I can move towards her, and I can offer her this cough drop. Do you need it? You need it? Did she deserve it? Did she ask for it? I've heard her clear her throat 5 times. She had to dig in her bag to get a mint out so she could put it on her throat. See, everybody else here has just ignored that. But see, what happens is you've got the ear of God. So you understand, I'm her shepherd. It's my job to pay attention to her. Y'all ain't going to help me. It's my job to pay attention to her. Oh, glory. Some of y'all are starting to get this right now. So God comes towards us and he says, I hear you. And even though you don't deserve it, I'm going to let my unmerited favor. You didn't buy that cough drop, did you? Did you buy that cough drop? Who paid for that cough drop? Who paid for your miracle? Say it. Who paid for your healing? By his stripes we were healed. Who prayed for your? Who actually paid for you to prosper? Oh, come on, guys. Are you realizing? God said, you know what? I don't want you to come to a junk hole. I'm going to pave my streets in gold because that's what you deserve. That's what you deserve. The righteous in God deserve to walk down streets of gold. Because you pressed through and you didn't just skin your nose into heaven. I hear people all the time, well, I'll ask Jesus in my heart at the last minute. You may never get that chance. Isn't that right, Will? When that car hits you on the side, you look up and there's a car grill right there inside your door. Did you have a chance to say anything? It was just bam. Hello. you realize that there's suddenlies that happen in your life you never get a chance. It's not until you felt the effects of it that everything goes in slow motion. Anybody ever been in one of those places where there was an accident and after you've been hit, it seems like everything slows down? Sometimes I believe that it's just the grace of God that just covers you and goes, now I got you. Come on, oh. There's sometimes in situations you wonder why it seems like everything slows down for just a minute. It's because that's when the Father goes, I'm pouring my unmerited love out on you right now. I'm giving you a chance. I hope this is making sense to y'all. Is this okay? And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency. All sufficiency in all things. Can I just help everybody? I'm tired of just paying the bills and there's nothing left in the bank. Is there anybody else would pastor? Hello? In this ministry, you know what? I used to stay up all night long worrying about finances because it takes a lot to run this ministry. Are you hearing me? But what I've learned to do is begin to realize it's God's church. My life is God's. My family is God's, so my bills at home are His. Are you hearing me? And I'm a good steward, but watch this. What happens is when I trust God and let go what's in my hand, He lets go what's in His. Are y'all hearing me right now? Watch this. Watch this. You ready? Everybody here, watch me. You ready? So when I have a need, it comes. Don't ask me how it comes. It just comes. How many of y'all can raise your hand and say, it's come to me just like that? Anybody here? It's come to me just like that. Is this helping anybody? Can I keep going? In all things that it may abound to every good work. Verse 9. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad. Who dispersed? Capital H. He. Wait a minute. His seed, my hand. Y'all missed it. His seed, my hand. Oh, ho, ho. Do you realize a farmer, are you ready? A farmer don't just have seed. He has to get seed from where seed comes from. That makes sense? How many of you realize when you need a tire, you don't have your tires just hanging on a wall? Where do you go? To a tire shop. Right? Walmart. Walmart's got everything. It's even got seed. He got my tires, he got my medicine, he got it all. You take Walmart and expand that about a million times over, and you got a God that serves you more than anything you could shop in. Oh, Lord. You have to realize that the seed you get comes from Him. Bless you, baby. Watch this. You ready? He has dispersed abroad, and He has given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. Now look at verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiplies your seed and increases the fruit of your righteousness. Are you ready? He takes your little bit and puts His much on it. You ever had somebody pat you on the back, but you didn't know how to do it, and it just worked out? Oh, y'all ain't going to say nothing up in here. I got 30 seconds right here. Man, there's times whenever I put my hands on thing and I go, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. And He just says, do this, do this, do this, and do this. And then people want to pat me on the back and I look at them, I say, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just listening. I don't know how to fix your car. I just listen. I got the best mechanic in the world. And then I got the second best mechanic in the world, and that's Mr. Scott. sometimes I just send them to them. Hey, Mr. Scott, here you go. I'm not touching it. But watch this. He's given the seed to you to sow. All he asks you to do is plant it. He's entrusted you with the seed. That makes sense? Seed is not just your money. It may be a word. It may be a song. It just may be you volunteering in children's church for that one kid. You realize that for pastor here tonight, I normally don't come to the front door, but there was a little one that needed a hug from pastor. And the Lord just sent me right up there. Okay, Lord, I'm going to the front door. I don't know why, but I'm going to the front door. How many of us in here begin to realize that he's given you seed and you just sow it? And you know what you do when you sow it? Prepare for it to multiply. See, many of us, can I ask you, anybody ever got the ground ready and then you just went out and threw the seed in it and walked off? Anybody ever done that? Be truthful. Come on, anybody ever just took things and just thrown it? Yeah, okay. And you found out that it really grew, but it didn't. Come on. But when you prepared to plant the seed, what did it do? Wow, my God, look at this. My daughter took on this little project. She goes, I want to grow sunflowers. Y'all don't mind if I take 30 seconds. I love sunflowers because they remind me of the sun. I can't wait till they get big enough to plant them down the side of my house so that way when I go out and get on my swing, just you swing in, that I can look at my sunflowers and realize that the Son of God is shining on me. Y'all take things for granted. I don't. I look at everything and I realize my God is in it. She planted those things, and you know what? Every day I didn't have to tell her to water it. I need y'all to hear, Pastor. Can I help you? I shouldn't have to tell you to water your seed that God gives you. You should already have an expectancy. God, I got an expectancy. You gave me the seed, and I'm planting it. You know what, Lord? It's going to be dry today, so let me go get my water. Come on, Holy Spirit, let's just water this rascal right here. And you know, they begin, within 2 days' time, I don't know if she put Miracle-Gro on it or what, 2 days' time, they busting through the soil, and I'm like, man, my God, them things are fast. And you know what? She's running in the house, Daddy! Daddy, 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 you got to see my plant. And I'm like, it's just a plant. But to her, she planted it and watered it, and it's produced. My God, is it produced. I mean, this little tiny thing has got sprouts everywhere, and I'm like, okay, so soon we got to separate this, and I'm trying to get in my brain, how am I going to separate this? And she's the whole time, every day, Daddy, it's going to be 30 degrees. We got to bring my plant in. Daddy, we're going to bring my plant in. Daddy, got to bring my plant in. I bring her plant in. You know what I begin to tell her? Speak over your plant, baby. That's crazy. Dad, what? I said, speak over that plant. You're going to get big. Speak to that seed. Hey, you're going to be beautiful. Them rascals is that tall. In less than a week. I'm like, I don't know if sunflowers are supposed to grow that fast or not. But all I'm going to say is, man, it looks like they're on Miracle-Gro. And she don't fail, son. She got so serious today. She told me, she said, Dad, I'm tired of this. Y'all don't want to know what she said. I'm tired of this rig I'm using, Dad. You're going to buy me a watering pot. Baby, I don't have time to do. I come home, there's a big green flower watering pot sitting on top of the counter. Trust me, if she wants it, mama gonna get it. How many of us are in that same place? You got a father that's given you the seed and entrusted it. See, we bought the seed for her. We gave it to her. But it would never have produced fruit. It would have never come out the ground if she didn't take the initiative to plant it. Make sense? And now you have to realize when you plant the seed and it's God's seed, all you have to do is just water it and take care of it. Speak over it. Y'all, listen to me. How many of y'all are speaking over your life? You're speaking over your family. You're speaking over your finances. Listen, if it shifted the atmosphere in your life in here when somebody spoke to you, imagine what it will do in your finances, what it will do in your husband, your wife, your kids. Is this making sense? Because what he's trying to do is get multiplication in your life. Amen? Is everybody still good? Can I just give you two scriptures? I ain't going to preach. I'm just going to give it to you because we're running very short on time. Are you ready? Watch this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I will read this one because it's short, but the next one I'm just going to tell you, okay? Can we do that? Is everybody learning? Is everybody good? You ain't falling asleep on me, right? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. When you're there, say amen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, you see it, and his righteousness, and all these things. You know, it's interesting that on Sunday we just sang Heaven on Earth. Something's moving, something's changing. See his glory, feels like heaven on earth. Do you realize that God is shifting some things in your life? He's changing some things in your life. But if you will just seek his kingdom first, Lord, what is your will in this thing? What is your seed? What do you want to give to me to plant? What do you want to help me with so that way your will be done? Not my will, but your will be done. Does this make sense? And then what happens is when you just begin to do his will, he just continues to add. Can I say that to everybody? Watch this. You realize that he entrusted me. He said, Pastor, you're going to tithe. I said, okay, I'm going to tithe. You're going to plant seed. Okay, I'm going to plant seed. Wait a minute, I got to get above my tithe? Are you going to trust me? Guess what? Every time, boom, I plant seed. I give my tithes. What happens? I get debts demolished. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Give my money to a church. You're not giving it to a church. You're giving it to God. Hello? It becomes kingdom work. Amen? I used to have people that worried about where their money went. I looked at them. I said, you want to know? Here you go. I'll show you. Because then you're going to come back to me and say, we need to pray, Pastor. We really need to pray, Pastor. I mean, how does that work? I mean, when you look at the end of the month and you look in the bank account and there's more total in red than there is in black, how did you pay the bills? I got a God who's more than enough. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Because I begin to realize that if I seek his kingdom first, I say, God, it's your church. It's your house. It's your car. It's your this. It's your that. Guess what? You know what he does? He takes it personal and says, well, if it's mine, I'll take care of it. If it's mine, I'll keep the lights on. I said, Lord, I need to pay the lights in this place. And you know what? Here comes a check in the mail. You know what I did? Y'all have no idea. There's times when I go to pay my staff because they work hard. I go to pay my staff and I'm like, Lord, how are you going to do this? And he goes, I'm not just going to do that. But I'm going to make sure you can pay your taxes out of it. I'm going to make sure that you can pay anything else that you need to pay. I'm going to make a way where there is no way. Guys, listen to me. He parts every ocean I come to. Let me just give you the last one. John chapter 3, verse 21. John chapter 3, verse 1 through 21. I'm not going to read it. It's the story of Nicodemus. Can I just paraphrase this to everybody here? Because this is where the church is right now. Nicodemus came to God in the night, or came to Jesus in the night, I should say. Well, they're 3 in 1. He came to Jesus in the night. Can I help you? Because Nicodemus couldn't sleep anymore. See, a lot of people say, well, he was being sneaky. No, he just got to the place where he had to know. Anybody ever got to the place where, Lord, I just have to know you. I just have to know you got this. I just have to, I got to come to you and I just need you to tell me I got this. And you find him coming to Jesus, and Jesus tells him, unless you be born again, you'll not enter the kingdom of God. You understand that Nicodemus's priorities was not the kingdom first. And when Jesus looked at him and said that, he said, how can I be born again? Do I need to go back in my mom's womb? I bet you his mama went, ain't no way. I'm sorry, I had to throw that one in there. No way. One time's enough for you, Bubba. You find Nicodemus in the place where he was so hungry but did not understand. And Jesus took the time with him to show him, this is how you are to be saved. This is how you enter into my rest. Guys, listen, I've been reading and studying, and you know what blows my mind is as the church, there's this great man of God, I just read it today, and I'll share it with you. It just blew my mind that on the sixth day that he made Adam. And when Adam opened his eyes after God breathed breath into him, listen to this, you ready? The first face he saw was the Father. Could you imagine what the first words out of his mouth were? Ah, ba, daddy, father. And he had a face-to-face encounter with God. You realize that was on day six. You realize on day seven, God rested. Can I just speak this to the church? God is trying to get us to the place where I'm renewing you, refreshing you, making you a new creature, but I need to show you how to rest in what I've already done for you. Does this make sense to everybody here? It blew my mind. I said, Lord, I have such the wrong concept of your love and of you. Lord, you love me so much that you don't want me to kill myself. You just want me to trust you and move when you say move. Does this make sense to everybody? See, I'm praying right now for a building because y'all look around. We need it. And I'm going to say it to everybody here. The Lord has not released me to look at anything yet. And I said, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm getting a little antsy. And he says, I just want you to follow peace and rest. Some of us get antsy. No, raise your hand. I just be truthful in church. Anybody here get antsy? I'm on Tyrone. I'm ready to move out of this house now. I'm tired of my pipes freezing. Tired of this happening. Come on. We're going to learn to rest in him. We're going to learn to trust in him more. And when he moves you, all of heaven will move with you. This makes sense to everybody. Then when you move, you're not moving by yourself. You're wondering why we're having the move of God that we're having. Sunday morning, I'm not able to preach because of God healing and touching and delivering people. Watch this. It's because we have come to the place where we've desired more. And he's saying, I'm giving you the seed. Now tell my people to sow it. Speak over it. And get some expectancy. Amen? How many of you got that tonight? How many of you that helped you? That might have just changed your life. Amen. Just get ready because I have no idea what God's going to do next. And you know what? I am absolutely in peace with that. Is everybody good? Well, Pastor, if you don't know where you're going, God knows where I'm going. I'm just going to trust him. If he tells me tomorrow to go and look at a building and call him up, I believe when I call them up, they're going to say, you know what, we'll cut the price in half and you come on and move right on in. We'll even cut off a couple months' rent because you need it. Better yet, we may even just let you buy the building in a couple years. It'll be yours. Is there anybody going to help me up in here? I'm not here because you voted me in. I'm here because I'm on divine assignment. Imagine if y'all voted, I'd probably be gone. Amen. Miss Lauren, will you play something? We're just going to spend a minute in prayer, and then we're going to cut loose because I know they're in the back and they're finishing up as well. But, you know, tonight, for just 1 minute, can we do this? For just 1 minute, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want us to let this word sink into our spirit right now. Let this word sink into your spirit right now. Just take a minute. Father, I ask you tonight, Lord. Lord, help us to change how we see you. Help us change. Lord, we ask you tonight to move in our lives. Lord, we cry out to you. But Lord, we also, with our hands open, we thank you for the seed that you want to plant. Lord, it's your seed. And Lord, I believe for many it's going to be holy callings, holy anointings. But Lord, tonight I just pray that, Lord, when you give the seed, that, Lord, we're not going to fret. We're not going to worry. We're just going to plant it. But then we're going to speak life over it. We're going to nurture it. We're going to nurture it in prayer, worship, praise. We may even have to get crazy and dance above it. Because, Lord, your praise sets the enemy into confusion. Lord, tonight we surrender our lives to you, Lord, and we cry out that we just want more. So use us, Lord. I bind up condemnation. I thank you, Lord, that you love us. You know right where we are. Lord, your love conquers all. It causes us to realize we need a change. Not condemnation, but your love. So, Lord, tonight we surrender every piece and every part of our life to you. We thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, I pray it falls on good ground. Lord, ignite it into our spirit. Lord, I pray that everybody in here begins to activate the word. Water it, speak over it, and we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast. If you've made a decision to follow Christ, we rejoice with you. Please let us know by contacting us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook. And we invite you to catch our next broadcast right here. See you soon.